Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin.
Welcome back to Wonderland on Points, everybody. I am Jo, and I am really excited to be here with you today because we have the gorgeous Emily Eats and Explores with us on the podcast. And this is particularly exciting for me because I've been working with Emily and her podcast co-host, Ashley, for a while as the secret editor slash producer of the podcast over there, which has been a joy because actually Emily might not even know this, but I found both of them from the podcast first. I had no idea who either of you were on Instagram. I literally got really into Points and Miles and was searching travel podcasts and yours came up and I started listening to the podcast and I was like, they are hilarious. I love them. This is amazing. And then I started following you both on Instagram and then I met you at Wits and like, you know, everything kind of snowballed from there. But I feel like most people go the opposite. They probably found your Instagrams first and then started listening to the podcast because you guys don't advertise your podcast at all. Many people might not know it exists, but it's very, very fun. And so all of that was a lot of things to say that I am so excited that you are finally here to talk about your epic trip. So Mary Ellen is here too. I just totally steamrolled your introduction. Mary Ellen, say hello.
Hi, everyone. I too am on this episode.
I'm so sorry. You should never let me introduce these. Emily, tell everybody a little bit about who you are, how you got into this travel creator lifestyle, maybe how you ended up doing a podcast. Just give us your best cliff notes for your career and how you ended up where you are.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited to talk about all my trips and travels. And yes, we have been in each other's worlds for a while now. So I'm excited to connect both of our podcast worlds.
Yay.
So I'm Emily with Emily Eats and Explores on Instagram. If you guys have followed me on there, I had a very traditional upbringing. I feel like I went, you know, high school, college, graduate school. I got a job right after that as an epidemiologist in a government hospital. I worked there until 2022. In 2020, I had actually started this dream of quitting my job to travel the world. I was going to take a career break. So I planned, saved, budgeted, all that fun stuff for 2 years before I ended up quitting my job. In 2021, I had started an Instagram account just to like be prep for this career break and be like, okay, well, my friends and family might want to follow me on a separate platform. And then I just started posting about how I was planning this career break and it really took off. So I was able to quit my job and actually have a little bit of income still coming in. And it's just totally evolved from there with group trips, brand deals, travel partnerships, press trips. I have an amazing membership now, the Travel Boss membership, and then the podcast, which came about because I met Ashley at a travel conference. I was speaking at another travel conference in Poland. I was like, hey, girl, do you want my ticket? We weren't even really that close. I had like an extra ticket that I could give. And while we were there, we were both, I was like, I really think I would be fun at like a podcast. I feel like it would be like a good time. And she was like, wait, I've thought the same thing. Like, I think a podcast would be so much fun. So we decided to do it together. And it's, you know, evolved and but we have the best time doing it. Just we say it's a mix of the Travel Channel and Bravo because there's always some drama. There's always something that goes on, but we still, hopefully people still get a lot out of it, whether it's just entertainment, but some tips and tricks here too. So it's been a very fun ride. And yeah, here I am. It's almost been 3 years. So the career break has lasted a little bit longer than I thought it would. Now we have this whole business side and yeah, it's been amazing.
I'm curious, would you ever go back to epidemiology, or now that you've found this and you're basically like on this incredible success track, are you just going to stick it out forever?
Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible. Like, I can't see myself going back to a 9-to-5 job and becoming kind of that worker bee again. Like, I definitely see myself now in this more like CEO role. So I can totally see my business like evolving as I, you know, I'm getting married this year. Like, we will probably have kids in the next couple of years. So that's going to look a little bit different. But I think always having it surrounded travel in some way and like empowering women in some way. But yeah, I can't really see myself going back to a 9-to-5, but I'm the kind of person, I'm just like an optimist and I try to be positive about anything. So I've never had a job that I've really, really hated. But now looking back, I can totally see some aspects of like my work that have translated over into like why I'm a good entrepreneur and like why entrepreneurship works out for me better. And I just love more of the freedom of it than anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now tell everybody, I don't think we actually mentioned the name of your podcast. So if people want to listen, check out your podcast. What's it called?
It's called Travel Chat with Ashley and Emily.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So everybody go subscribe to Travel Chat with Ashley and Emily.
I will also link it in the show notes, you guys, to make it easy for you to find. So go ahead and click that. It'll take you straight over there and you can follow the show.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Your Instagram account and a lot of your accounts are travel focused, but they're not necessarily points and miles focused like a lot of our guests. You're more general travel. However, I know that with Ashley, as you guys have traveled the world, points have played a massive role in the ability to travel all the places. So before we get started, we're going to actually today dive into your luxury safari at the JW Marriott Masai Mara. I'm so excited for that. But before we go, give us, because you guys have been some incredible places, if you had to do like a quick top five of where points and miles have taken you and Ashley on your kind of bestie trips around the world, what would those top five places be?
So this is probably not the answer that you want, but this was actually our first trip together using points and miles. So we actually had never used points and miles on a trip before. This was actually my first time ever using points and miles together on
no
like
way.
Stay or things like that. Yeah. And I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I think the amazing places that we have stayed have been, you know, a lot of them have been Southeast Asia, which makes it super affordable for people, even places in like South America as well. And so anything, we call ourselves points hoarders, which I know some people do not like that, but we kind of hoard our points to have like these amazing experiences, bucket list experiences that we wouldn't pay cash for. Because for us, you know, we do travel for our businesses. So a lot of it is going to be like a business expense at the end of the day. So if it's something that's not going to be like, if we're not going to pay cash for it, like that's what we're going to save our points and miles for. But I've definitely gone on to like some amazing flights and some amazing trips, but like most recently I just booked my honeymoon on points and miles. That was the first time.
Very exciting.
And so I'm staying at the Westin in Bora Bora. I think I use, yeah, I'm super, super excited for
that. That's a pretty nice first points and miles trip.
I know. I'm so excited. And I had booked the Hilton Moorea before that, but then I found out about this points deal and I was like, okay, I feel like I should definitely do that. It's going to save us about $9,000. We're going to stay 5 nights. It was like little under 300,000 points, so not too shabby. But that, I'm really excited for that. And now I think I'm in it now. I'm like, I'm going to Hawaii. I'm going to Maui with a friend and I'm looking at the Andaz there, which is, I think, 45,000 points a night. So that's definitely doable as well. And that's an amazing resort. So I'm getting into it, but we're still very new. And if it's not like a bucket list trip, then, or like a bucket list kind of experience, then we generally do like end up paying cash for it. But
that makes a ton of sense though, with business expenses. And it makes sense for why, you know, you guys were able to do this luxury safari that we're going to talk about today. Because guys, the luxury safari they went on is not maybe a trip that for families who can just have a little bit of points. This is a massive points undertaking. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the episode, we're going to give you a very tangible step-by-step breakdown of how, if you do want to save up and hoard points for a while to do this truly top tier bucket list trip, you can make it happen. So don't get scared away, guys. We're going to dig into the trip now. And when you hear the prices, you might get a little scared. But again, if you have goals and strategy and you put your mind to it, you can earn enough points for this trip. So let's get into the safari. For those that don't know, Masai Mara in Kenya, it's a massive national game reserve that borders Tanzania and the Serengeti National Park there. So first, let's talk about how in the world do you get to Masai Mara? Give us like the flight details to Nairobi, and then maybe we'll also chat from going from Nairobi over to Masai Mara.
Yeah. Of course. I'll talk about coming from the U.S. because that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Ashley came from Brazil, so it was a little bit different. But I came from the U.S., so I am based in Boston. I was looking at some flights from Boston, and they were fine, but I found out there was a direct flight from JFK. So I was like, 100% doing that. So I went from JFK right to Nairobi, direct flight. I don't remember exactly how long it was. It was a pretty long flight, but it was fairly affordable on Kenya Airways, and I did not get business class, sadly. Mm. But they do have an option where you can book out a full row, so I did that both ways. So I had a full row to myself, and it was really cheap. It was only like maybe $250. As you're checking in. Yeah, it was awesome. I don't know if they do that for every flight, or if it. I mean, I'm assuming obviously that they need to have space available. But I did it for both ways, and well worth it to have a whole row to yourself.
Absolutely. That sounds like a win. Having a full row is essentially like a lie-flat business seat anyways. Yeah, you just turn sideways.
Exactly what it is.
How was Kenya Airways? Was that what you flew both directions, Kenya Airways?
Yes, I flew Kenya Airways round trip. It was fine. It definitely felt like a more dated airline. The airport definitely very dated for sure. They did actually have a decent amount of lounges, which I was surprised about. So I got access to three different lounges on my way back to JFK. But you definitely feel like you're in some kind of warehouse almost. That's what the airport feels like. And booking, I really don't like the booking process. It was very confusing. It took a lot of tries to actually get it to go through. Just the way they send the confirmations, it definitely just felt very, very outdated for sure.
Oh, that's a little nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think especially that in light of recent events.
Oh, yes. Yes, for sure. That is definitely nerve-wracking, but still sounds like worth it to get the best deal for sure. Do you remember the total cash price did you book round trip or did you book your legs individually?
Yeah, I booked round trip, and with the upgrades to full row both ways, it ended up being a little over $1,000. I think it was like $1,085 or something like that.
That's a steal.
Absolutely a steal. And I want to remind people that if you are booking, like let's say on a Capital One Venture or Venture X card, you could erase that purchase with 100,000 Capital One points, right? So, I mean, that's 50,000 points each way. That's a pretty reasonable, especially if you've got a full row. That's basically like 50,000 each way almost for something resembling business class. So there are points options there, even if you have to think outside the box to use them. Okay, let's move on. So you get to Nairobi, but then you have to actually get over to Masai Mara. So how does all of that work? Is there a transport that's arranged for you? Is that something you had to do? How far is it? Give anybody who was going to try to copy this the details of what happens.
Yeah, so we did all of that planning on our own. There's two different options that you can take to get to Masai Mara, probably three, but I think these two are going to be the most popular. The first is going to be the flight. So the flight takes about 40 to 50 minutes or so. It's less than an hour. You can take that right from Nairobi. It will probably make sense for you to fly into Nairobi, get a hotel in Nairobi, and then go back to the airport and fly out the next day, unless you can get like an early flight in. So we ended up not doing that option. We ended up going with the van, and that was basically just for luggage restrictions. So they do have luggage restrictions when it comes to the amount of weight, because they are the smaller planes, and the actual luggage that you're taking. So they want it to be a soft shell luggage. So that would be some type of backpack or like crossbody bag or something like that. And Ashley was traveling for 2 months or so. So she had these big suitcases, hard shell suitcases. So it wasn't really the best option for us. So we ended up opting for the van, which we got a private van through Viator. It was a cheaper option. I think it did save us around $200. And the van is definitely going to be longer. It's about a 4.5 hour drive. And generally they say it's going to be 6 hours because they like to make stops, but we requested not to do all of those stops to go shopping and things like that. And so it ended up being about 4.5 hours. We mostly slept. We slept the whole way back, but there we were working a little bit. I honestly really enjoyed it because I got to see the side of Kenya that I wasn't going to experience when I'm on the reserve, right? So we're going through these towns, we're seeing how everybody lives, we're seeing the schools. And so that was really eye-opening to me.
Yeah.
And so I would recommend, you know, maybe doing a flight one way and the van the other way. But if it's during the Great Migration, you have to fly in, hands down, because that's just going to be amazing arriving from the sky and getting to see all of the animals. And we weren't there during that time, so we wouldn't have had that experience anyway. But it is very cool that, you know, that your van is there to your Jeep is there to like pick you up right at the airstrip with like champagne and things like that. But we still had a good pickup from our van situation. So we were happy that we did it, no regrets. But if it's during the Great Migration, definitely would fly for sure.
I will say with the flight, if you were to go with the flight option, I have actually done that before. So I've been to Masai Mara and we did fly on the small plane from Nairobi over there. And it is wild landing because you're right. You can see out. I didn't go during the Great Migration either, but still, as you're looking out the windows, one, it is a very small plane. So if you have a lot of flight anxiety, might not be the right choice for you. It also does not land on a paved airport runway like we are used to seeing. It lands on dirt in the Serengeti. So you're seeing zebras and animals. Literally, there could be someone on where the runway is shooing animals away so that your plane can land. So it is an adventure of its own should you go that route. Definitely is a cool experience, but it's an interesting experience and not for the faint of heart.
That's scary. And I think it is good to put that out there because you don't want to have any surprises for those people with flight anxiety, like my partner. If we showed up and we're getting on a flight like that and I hadn't prepped him ahead of time, he would probably murder me. So that sounds scary and awesome at the same time. Emily, do you happen to know off the top of your head what time of the year the Great Migration happens?
So in the Serengeti and Masai Mara are swapped. So when we went, it was going on in the Serengeti in Tanzania.
Okay.
I believe it's going to be like summertime. So like July, August, September. Don't quote me on that, but I know those are like high peaks for them. We definitely still went during considered their high peak season. It was like the end of it in December when we went. And you know the high peak because it once they're not in high peak anymore, then they're going to actually decrease the rate of how much you pay for the fees per day to actually be inside of the National Reserve. So definitely like the beginning of the year, it's going to be slower for them. And then summer times, I'm pretty sure that is when the great migration happens, but don't quote me on that.
So everybody just look it up if you're planning the trip. Do some Googling. Figure out if it's worth it to pay a little bit more for the great I would imagine all times of the year, you're still going to have a pretty cool experience. It's not like you're going to go and there's just going to be no animals outside.
Absolutely. We still had amazing wildlife. We saw everything we wanted to see. And then we had a ton of babies as well.
The babies.
We don't always get that. And, you know, all the time. But we saw every animal with a baby and I was just dying inside.
Love that.
I was following all of the videos and stories and such very closely. And it was just, I was so jealous and it was so cute. I cannot stand the babies really. That's like, it takes everything a step up for me. And obviously you can't necessarily plan that to happen perfectly. You have no idea if you're going to see them or not. But maybe a little bit later, we'll talk about how you guys had like the most fantastic driver, because I think that makes a big deal. And I think that you can request specific people to be your driver. So maybe we'll have you shout out that person a little bit later in the episode. So you guys drove in via a van, as you mentioned. If you had flown, you would have been picked up at the airstrip and the Jeep with the champagne. How did they get you from the van situation?
Yeah. So when you're going on the van, obviously it's not going to be as much of a warm welcome because they're not really sure exactly when you're going to get there. So we were supposed to get there like an hour and a half later than we arrived. So we were actually just sitting outside of the gate waiting for our driver to come because they were like trying to be in communication, but it wasn't always working out. And from the Masai Mara to the gate, it's about 35, 40 minutes. So we were hanging out for a little while to wait for our driver to come pick us up. And it was fine, but you know, there was definitely people trying to sell you stuff. They were banging on all the windows and like holding up all the jewelry and, you know, the scarves and things like that. So it was a little bit intimidating, I guess, when you first get there and your car is just kind of being surrounded. But we just sat in the van and in the AC and just hung out until our driver got there. He pulled right up, helped us with our bags, brought us in. And then it was just like absolutely incredible from that point on. He introduced ourselves. He gave us, you know, a kind of an introduction of the park and the resort, answered any of our questions that we have. And then we went on like a mini safari. So the second you get in, you see a giraffe in the distance and I'm just already freaking out. And so he, you know, he'll drive over to that side and we can take pictures of the giraffe, you know, not knowing like the most amazing things are about to come. I'm just already like, I'm already happy. Like I've already,
that was all I needed.
Like, this is amazing. Oh my gosh. It was like, how can anything top this? And it does. It does. So, yeah, it was amazing right from there. They had waters for us. Then they brought us to the entrance of the JW. And there was a welcome ceremony for us, which was very cute. So they had people from local tribes come in and they did their little chants and dances and things like that. And you can take pictures to them. And you can take pictures, like they have you take pictures in front of the sign and everything. And then you walk across this like gorgeous bridge. So it's the rivers surrounding the JW. It's absolutely incredible. You feel very safe. You know, the hippos will obviously be in the river, but they're really the only ones that are going to be hanging out. They're usually on the other banking. They're not going to be in your banking. So you just feel like you're in your own little world there. But once you cross right over, they have people bringing your bags in, you get a welcome drink, so you can get champagne, or they have this, I think it's like a hibiscus-y type drink that's more local. And then because of the time that we arrived, it was lunchtime. So we sat down, we had lunch right away. They had they're like different people from the resort come and introduce themselves and tell us about the activities and the things that were going on. And then we were brought to our our tent right after we had lunch. And yeah, it was just, it was an amazing welcome for sure. It was definitely top notch. It was a lot of people coming at you. And
yes,
I'm Ashley like loves that kind of service. I'm a little bit like, we can tone it down a little bit, but I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
For sure. And you called it a tent, but I feel like we should describe this tent to people because I'm sure everyone hears the word tent and gets the wrong idea. So give us a description. Paint us a picture.
Okay, this is like very, very high-end glamping. So we had another cute little bridge that we crossed until we got to our big, massive deck. I can't say like square footage or things like that, but it was massive, massive, massive deck. A cute little table and chair set up so you can wake up in the morning, have your coffee, look at the giraffes in the distance with the sun coming up. We had a hot tub, which it was cold during the day, but if you use it consistently, you can have them request it. Like I was like, I used the hot tub every single night. Ashley, we usually kind of go in and do a little bit of work or things like that, but they knew that I was consistently using it. So they knew like the exact time that I would be back. And so they had turned it on. So that would be like the perfect temperature by the time
I got back. So nice.
I know. It was crazy. So that was amazing. But you walk in, it was one big massive room with like a 4-poster bed, gorgeous, which they close all around you at night. Gorgeous little seating area. There was a desk in the corner. There was a mini bar, snacks, things like that. And so all of that was like inside this canvas tent. Also two big like wardrobes. So we each had a ton of space to ourselves, which was amazing. And then in the structure that was actually, it was like stone, I believe, which was the bathroom. So two sinks. So again, we had our own spaces. Women, that's very nice. We have stuff that we're throwing all around. We had the little room for the toilet, a shower, and then there was an outdoor shower.
My favorite thing in the history of the world is an outdoor shower. I once stayed at an Airbnb in Florida that had an outdoor shower. I've never in my life had another place with an outdoor shower, and I dream of that. I just can't imagine how incredible it would have been in this location.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was amazing. I definitely would have loved it like as the sun was going down to like be in the shower, because you really only can use it when it's nighttime, because you go to dinner and then you come back and it's night. So we did use it at night a few times. But yeah, would definitely have loved to like have like a little sunset outdoor shower vibe, spa music. Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Dreams.
So as we're getting into everything that you guys got to experience at the resort, the hot tub, the amazing tent, the meals, I mean, this is true luxury. So let's give everybody a little sneak peek into the rates, and then I want you to tell us more about everything that includes. So it looks like from our online searching that the cash rates for two people runs just over $2,500 per night. And then the lowest points offering that we can find for two people over the course of the next year, which is how we've looked out over the entire next year, is about 192,000 points per night. So this is definitely a splurge, no matter who you are, whether you pay cash or points. But what does that include? So when we talk about 192,000 points per night and people pass out because that sounds like so much, but it also includes a ton and you're not spending anything else out of pocket. So tell us, what does it include?
So the biggest thing is obviously going to include the game drives. And this is actually huge, because if you look at something, a place like the Four Seasons in the Serengeti, you're going to see that the cash price is a lot lower. But what some people don't know is that those game drives are not going to be included. So you're going to have to pay extra for that. And that's going to be a lot, because we're going on two game drives a day. So we go at 1 at 6:30 in the morning and we go at 1 at 4. All of those are included, all 5 days. you can, usually you don't go on one your last day because you don't really want to pay for the park fees again, just to go on the one, but you get one when you have arrived and you can go on to every other day. It includes all of the food and all of the alcohol. There are some like very premium alcohols that aren't included in that, and like some things like cigars and things like that, but everything else, drinks, alcohol, all of your food, they have a full day menu and a bar menu that you can order pretty much at any time. And then they have set meal times and set menus for those meal times. But if you ever look at the menu and you're like, I'm not really feeling anything on this menu, you could literally say, hey, can I, one day I was like, could I get like a pesto pasta? And they're like, oh, absolutely. They just went back, made me a pesto pasta, and it was delicious. So we started eating it that a lot. So they do have, you know, an amazing layout, all different kinds of food. They had Indian one night. They had different like Asian cuisines. They had obviously like Kenyan food. So a lot of different options there, which was nice. Lunch was generally the same. And then breakfast, we always opted to have them a bush breakfast. So mm-hmm. they do have one day on our safari where they had a very traditional bush breakfast where everybody went, they had all the tables set up and they had everybody cooking and making things for you. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. Juices, coffees, like everything. And you're in the bush, like you're in it.
That's amazing. And
the other days we just had our driver, you know, pack us a breakfast, which was, I mean, still like eggs, bacon, sausages, juices, like all of the things. So you were not, you know, missing out at all if you weren't having breakfast at the lodge. That's what I'm trying to say. Lodge. There we go. And then they also have some cool amenities. So they do have a pool, which is really nice because it does get quite hot during the day, and it is hard to stay in your tent during that time. So we got a sunrise tent. They do have a sunset tent. Loved the sunrise tent. So it's just different sides of the river. And because we got the sunrise tent, it did get quite hot in the room. But I think they're all kind of like that. So you're not really going to hang out in your room midday when you're in between your game drives. So the pool is really nice. They have a gym as well. And they actually have a personal trainer that works at the gym. If you want to get, he will give you a full workout plan. He will give you meal plan, workout plan, like make all of that for you. And you can have personal training sessions with him every day if that's your vibe. They have a spa, and the steam room, sauna, and cold plunge are actually included in the price. And then you can get, obviously, massages and things like that. We opted not to do that because we loved just going to the spa. Yeah. It is a private spa, so you do have to book an appointment, but nobody had ever used it. So we would come back, and pretty much all the slots were available. So we would just go and hang out. Ashley did that every single day. So steam room, sauna, cold plunge, and then they had a little deck outside with lounge chairs, and they had, you know, the waters and things like that, little snacks. So that was absolutely incredible. And they did have some activities that they also included. You could do like spear throwing and, why can't I think of the name right
Archery.
Now? Archery. There we go. Archery. I think they probably had some other ones, and we had always like planned on doing them, but sometimes they weren't during the time, like we always were going to opt to do a game drive versus doing anything else.
Absolutely.
Because of the time that we were there. So, and then, you know, when you're in between game drives, it's, you know, you're waking up quite early and you're going to bed quite late. So it is kind of a lot. And you usually just want to chill during that time that you have available after your first game drive. So they do have a ton included. They also, an amazing perk is also their photography portion. So they have cameras that you are able to rent out. I think it was like $25 for all of our 5 days.
It's crazy.
And yeah. Amazing zoom lenses, like incredible. Then they also have a photographer on site that will edit your photos, teach you how to edit photos, teach you
That's
how
awesome.
To use a camera in manual if you want it. We mostly just did automatic, the auto, but yeah, it was amazing. And then they also had some other activities. I think they had like some type of necklace making or bracelet making. They had little things like that. But I mean, there was so much.
Yeah, it sounds like a ton to do.
That was included. And yeah, you weren't going to be bored. That's for sure.
I have two very important questions. The first question is, all-inclusives get a bad rep for having mediocre food. So the first is, I would love to know how good you thought the food was. And the second question is, how is the Wi-Fi?
Okay, food, amazing. It was delicious, delicious.
That's awesome.
There was these chicken sandwiches that we had, and we got them every single day. They were so delicious. And we also ordered, they had amazing coffees there as well, if you like coffees, but then juices. And one day I ordered a juice while we were at lunch, and it probably took like 30 minutes or so for me to get the juice. And I was like, oh, that's like, I'm like, what's going on? Like, did they forget about me or something like that? No. They literally go to the garden. I'm not kidding you. They go to their garden. They will, if they have the fresh fruit available, they pick the fruit and they will literally make the juice there, like on the spot for you. Like, this is
insane.
Not prepped. Like, and I was like, is this a joke? When, yeah. When they told me that, I was like, are you serious? Like, are you kidding me right now? And we did see, we did get to have, this is kind of a secret that we didn't hear anybody else talk about. Not a secret, but you can have opt to have lunch in the garden one day. So we did that on our last day. So we got a lot of time. So it's a very cute private setting. They put a table out there. They have a server out there for you and you can just order all of your food. So we had like this massive spread on our last day before we left to go back to Nairobi. And in the garden, it was like very private and beautiful and lovely. So we really, really enjoyed that. But yeah, they have anything and everything, like so much stuff they actually grow on site. So everything is so fresh and delicious. And yeah, it was top-notch food for sure.
That sounds incredible. I cannot even imagine like fresh picked fruit juice. I bet there's nothing like it.
And the Wi-Fi? I honestly don't know. I did not use my computer once. Ashley,
that's a great answer.
So that good for you.
You were in the moment.
Yeah, I was. I mean, I was uploading some stuff to Instagram, and Ashley was working. Actually, she did a Zoom call with her coach. So
it must have been pretty good.
Yeah, so it's doable.
Yeah.
I just picture me in the downtime of the day wanting to like watch something on Netflix while I'm laying by the pool. And so that was definitely a consideration. Like, do we need to be downloading our favorite trash shows beforehand? Yeah, yeah. Or
no,
you know. It makes me laugh though, Joe, that you asked it, because I actually made, I don't know if it's a reel or post on Instagram, making fun of how in Facebook groups, travel Facebook groups for whatever destinations, people are like, how is the Wi-Fi in the ocean, you know, like they need it at all times. Like when I'm floating on my float in the ocean, am I going to have access to the Wi-Fi?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I will say one critique, because you mentioned the pool. There's no shade around the pool. That's Oof. One critique.
So and you are on the equator there.
Yeah. And so that's why we hung out a lot of the times in the spa, because it was really tough to hang out by the pool with no shade. Yeah.
For
real white people like me and Joe.
Yeah. And blondes and all of us fair people. You can't just hang out.
Can't
with
do
you
it.
Need an umbrella.
No air conditioning. Oh, so
Okay.
Yeah. But it's totally fine at night. It gets cool. It gets cool at night. But yeah, that's why you either got to be like in the pool with like a big wide rim hat on, or, you know, in the spa or at the gym, I guess.
Pack your sunscreen, people. Your
sure.
200 proof sunscreen. Is that even a thing?
I don't know. Okay, let's get into the main event, though. We want to hear about the game drives themselves. I want to know everything, how magical it was. Did you see all of the big five? So for anybody who doesn't know, the big five in Africa are elephant, buffalo, rhino, leopard, and lion. You see way more than that, but that's kind of the advertised big five. So did you see everything that you hoped?
Yes, we saw everything. The hardest one to see was definitely the rhino. We did get to see it, though. We saw it from afar, so it was amazing. Most of the time, I was using the binoculars, so they do provide you with binoculars as well as the camera. So Ashley was most of the time was in the camera. You can obviously see through the camera and see further away, and then I was usually with the binoculars. So that was absolutely incredible, and I got to see it. I can't think of a word right now. When he's like peeing on everything.
Oh, marking? Like his territory?
Yes. Hilarious.
And I was like, and it was just this, I was not ready
like
for it.
Like a hose.
Woo! This stream coming out. I'm like, this was probably the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, this is amazing. So that was, it was.
I didn't have rhino peeing on my bingo card for what the coolest thing was.
I wouldn't either, but I was just like, oh my gosh, it's nuts. But yeah, so I'm very grateful that we got to see everything. And we were, again, we were there for 4 or 5 days. So in total, it was like 8 game drives or so. And so that's definitely a good amount of time. But, you know, it's just kind of the luck of the draw. Some people were there for 7 days and, you know, they had just missed the rhino or they had just missed the leopard or something like that. So we're very lucky we got to see everything. So yeah, it was incredible. Again, lots of babies, all the elephants, all the lion cubs were my absolute favorite. So magical. Our first day, our first game drive, the 4 p.m. game drive, we went out and the park closes at 7. So everybody has to be in by 7. But we got to see this family, and the lion cubs were just so freaking cute. And the sun was going down and our driver popped us champagne. And I was like, it doesn't get any better than this. Like,
nope.
I mean, absolutely, absolutely amazing. Yeah.
But did you burst into song? Because if Joanna and I were there, there would have been singing of the Lion King.
Oh my gosh.
It's so the funny. Circle of life.
Natural, like you do, like you have it in your head. And I was like, sometimes I was like, I need to listen to like a song right now. And I would like pop my AirPods in and I would like listen to some like Afro beats or something like that. But no, a lot, like just naturally, like everybody's talking like this. Like you're like dead silent.
Yeah.
So, you know, when he's pouring the champagne, it's so slow and we're cheering. We're like, cheers. And it's just so quiet. But most of the time when you're looking at these animals, literally it's dead silent. Like no one's talking and you're just, everybody's in the zone. Just, you know, cause you don't want to spook them or, you know, all those things. So that, yeah, it is interesting, but you're just naturally, it just comes naturally. It's not like our driver never had to
tell. Yeah, you're just taking it all in. And
so you guys, these are not private, like typically you're going on these in a group, but if I remember correctly from your episodes recapping this, you guys ended up having private game drives, right?
Yes. So we had 2 that were with another couple. So, and there's 2 different, there's some things that you can do in addition to the game drives. You can pay for a balloon safari and a horse safari. We didn't end up doing those.
Whoa.
But on our second day, the couple ended up doing a balloon safari. So, you know, we got private time then. But yeah, we're not really sure exactly why it happened. It could be because of Ashley's status that she had. It could be, who knows? They also, the drivers do shifts. So they work for a certain amount of time and then they'll go home for, I think it's like 4 weeks. So it could have been the end of our driver's shift where he wasn't having anybody else come in. But it was very interesting because some cars had like 6 people and then there was still the 2 of us. So we got very lucky and it is incredible to have, you know, the driver to itself. It's great if you have a good group, but it's really amazing because if there's one day, there was one day like Ashley really wanted to see the leopard. So we just spent the whole time like going and looking for the leopards and the animals that you see are in different areas of the park. So, you know, if you're on one side of the park, like looking at the hippos or something, maybe they see the leopard far on the other side of the park. Like you're not going to be able to get there in time to see that. So you do have to schedule out your days according to like what you actually want to see. So if you have something specific in mind, it's really nice. And we, you know, he had allowed us to stay, and you know, wherever we were for however long we wanted, you know, we saw a cheetah kill and the babies were eating it. So we stayed there for so long just watching that, just watching them eat the, I think it was the antelope or something. So that was really great. But it's also fun, you know, to meet other people. We didn't hate like having other people with us or anything like that. But you, of course, you want like a good group that's positive and is going to be excited and not like, okay, like I saw this for 5 seconds. Let's move on. Let's do this.
That would be tough. Yeah. Yeah. And you just never know what you're going to get. So I think it turned out really awesome for you guys. Didn't your driver allow you to stay late or like past the closing to see, was that the leopard?
So we saw the leopard late at night. All of the trucks had gone back. And at this point, we didn't realize there was a curfew. So we were driving back with them and then Ashley screamed. She's like, oh my God, there it is. And it was just like a warthog. And he was like, we were like, oh, come on. And so I think he like felt bad because he like could see how excited she was that maybe it was like actually going to come out. So he ended up turning around, driving back. He's just like, okay, it was just like one more time. And we ended up seeing her. She walked right in front of the Jeep, which was absolutely incredible. And then we had to fly back because they will find you. Like they will get, you can totally get in trouble. So probably not the best route to go. But
I was surprised when you said the rhino. I assumed that the leopard would have been the hardest to see for sure.
Yeah. I ended up seeing the leopard 3 times and Ashley saw it twice.
So epic. Maybe we should talk about the driver now.
Yay, Festus. Festus is amazing. Yeah, he was our driver for the entirety of the trip. So whoever's coming to pick you up is going to be your driver for the entirety of the time that you're there. You'll have the same driver, which I think is really nice. So he gets to know you, knows what you like, knows kind of, you know, your style or whatever, the animals, the time of day you want to go out. So we kind of had a schedule and a rapport with him, which was amazing. But he was definitely, he's been doing this for 25 years. So he's just so skilled. Like you can tell that he is definitely kind of like the head honcho because everyone would be stopping to like ask him where things are. He was just such a great driver. And I can't imagine going, you know, when the Great Migration is, because there were like still a decent amount of cars there, because generally, so there'll be like an animal sighting and then everybody starts calling each other, right? And they're like, we see this. And then everybody starts going to that area. And so there would usually be maybe like 10 or so cars around there. I feel like if you go during the Great Migration, like that could be triple that. So sometimes you're not in the best spot to see the animal, but somehow he would just finagle his way in to get us like right in front of the animals, like, you know, without disturbing them or like being an asshole or anything like that. But you could just tell like he had seniority. And so he was just so good at getting us the best shots and just driving quickly. He calls it Ferrari Safari or Safari because he'll just kick it and we'll go as fast as we can to get to see like the animal, because you just never know when they're going to pick up and go. And especially the leopards, which are tough to see. And so we got so lucky being able to see one on the ground, because that is very rare. Usually they are in the trees, like inside of the trees. So that was amazing. So he just totally went above and beyond, bringing us the breakfast every day with our requests. And he would ask you what kind of drinks that you liked. So he would pack a cooler. He knew that I like the, I can't think of the name right now, the beers that they have there. I'll think of it later, of course. But I liked the beer that they had, the Kenyan beer. And so he would bring those for me. I never ended up drinking anything because I was so worried about having to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
That's a really good point. That's a good thing to think about.
No. And you have to be so, I mean, I was starting to schedule it before, because there were a few times where I was like, I really have to go to the bathroom. And it really isn't that big of a deal. We both went once because we just were both like, okay, we have to go to the bathroom so bad. So he'll just pull to like a side. We were in the area where we were watching the hippos and everybody had left, so no one was there. And you just go behind the truck and you go to the bathroom. He gives you toilet paper and like a little paper bag to shove the toilet paper in.
Okay. And
so you just squat. Thank God I was not wearing my my jumpsuit that day.
Oh my gosh.
Because I did wear a jumpsuit one day. Yeah.
Knowing your Instagram, I know that you were looking, your fashion was on point for safari, which brings me to a good question. What do you recommend that people pack? What kind of things practically and then for fun? Because I know you got to have like a good hat or jumpsuit, like you mentioned.
Yes. And I really had to convince Ashley. I was like, you can't just wear your jeans and your black top. Like we're looking okay. So definitely wear the hat. You probably, it depends on the kind of truck that you're in. Ours was covered, so you didn't really need the hat, but it did look cute. But when we're flying, it was just flying off. So I pretty much only wore that for pictures, but probably would be nice like around the pool and things like that. It is chilly in the morning. The JW provides blankets for you, which is amazing.
Nice.
So I generally wore like longer pants and then some type of like either like a short sleeve top or like a flowy top, something that's like breathable, airy. It has to be comfortable because you're going to sit for 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the evening. We generally mm-hmm. didn't change in between because sometimes you do get dusty, you know, that your hair is like flying all around. You just want to like change into something a little bit different because it does, again, get a little bit cooler at night. So I wore a lot of like very breathable clothes, the jumpsuits, pants. I wore the neutral colors people talk about, the greens, the tans, whites, things like that. I basically just like looked up, you know, cute safari clothes for women and
love.
And just went, I had this green jacket that I loved and now I wear that all the time. So again, it was really nice. Like I would have like a tank top on with my jacket over that and, you know, really nice and cozy in the morning. And then by 10:30, 11, you're like stripping because it's so hot.
Yeah.
So a jacket, some type of jacket is really nice to have. Lighter weight jacket too. But yeah, I got most of my stuff at like secondhand. So you can find a ton of that stuff.
Were you comfortable drinking the water there? Or did you need to take your own filtered water bottle? Did you guys just use one-use water bottles?
Yeah, they do give you reusable water bottles when you get there as a gift.
Nice.
And we got scarves as well. I think the scarves were from Status, but I think everybody gets a water bottle. It might be vice versa. But we always filled it up with the bottle water. So it's bottle water everywhere. So whether it's on safari, whatever stocked in your room, and then if you're requesting water while you are at any of the meals, it's going to be bottled water. Yeah.
Okay. That's very important. You were there for 5 nights, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How many do you think is the minimum that people should do to have a really good experience?
So we asked how long people generally stay, and 5 nights is the average that people stay at the JW.
Wow.
So I do think 5 nights is a good amount of time to go where you would have enough to see everything that you want to see, and mm-hmm. then maybe even have like a day in between just to chill if you want to. It would be nice to be able to have a day to just kind of hang out and do the activities like we talked about, or like take, you know, the sunset shower. Obviously, you want to go out and see the animals, so that's the priority. But if you're there for a long enough period of time, it is nice to be able to just like spend a day, chill, relax, like hang out by the pool.
For sure.
Wake up. Not at 5:30, not complaining, but
but that's a little tough on vacation. It can feel a little bit like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to get some rest.
Jet lag and the time difference and everything.
Exactly. But you're just like, I never really felt super tired. Like your body just kind of feel tired, but like your wake up, we were ready to go. But yeah, we were waking up around 5:30 and probably going to bed around midnight. So
wow.
Yeah, for 5 days. Yeah. So you're not like chillaxing here. But then, you know, if we were driving long periods of time back to the lodge or something like that, we would take little naps in the car. It was like a perfect kind of napping situation with the big fuzzy blankets and things like that.
I was thinking about a few logistical things. The first thing I heard you say is something about a game drive fee. So is that something you have to pay on top of the price that you're paying for per night?
Yes. Yeah, so it's the park entrance fee, they call it. So you need to pay that if you are going to be doing anything within the park. So when we went, it was $200 a day.
For both.
So we were there for 5 days just for one person.
But for both game drive. So it covers you for the whole day, not like every time you have to go in.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So once you pay for the day, you can spend the whole day in there, or you can go back in and out, because the JW isn't technically like in the reserve, but yeah, it's right near it. So anytime you're going to be in the park, yeah, you just pay that one time. So we paid $1,000 each for the whole time we were there. When it's not their higher season, it does go down to $100. And then for like kids and students, it's like $50, I think, all the time.
Okay.
So that's nice. And yeah, that's not something that's going to be covered with your points. That's always going to be something that you're going to have to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, that's very, very important for people to be knowing that ahead of time and budgeting for that. The other logistical question was tipping. How does tipping work? I would imagine you're wanting to tip the staff and tip your driver, or is that built into this massive nightly rate?
Yeah, tipping is not included. So that is something that you're going to have to set aside and think about. We asked two different people and neither of them would give an answer. We were like, can you just give us a range, an average, something? They would not. So we ended up spending each about maybe $850 on tips. Obviously the biggest one was going to be our driver, and we did want to tip him extra because we were, private driver essentially. So we knew he was going to miss out on the tips from potentially like two other people,
because
ours would be maxed at four people. So we did want to tip him even extra. Plus he was just an amazing driver and we had such an incredible time. So we ended up, tipping him around $500 each, I want to say. So that was all in cash, and that was things that we had planned for. And then you can tip the staff on your credit card. So we just did like a general overview for like a general payment for like the staff, and then a general payment for the cleaning people.
Housekeepers,
so
yeah.
We had the same, I can't remember his name right now. I feel really bad. But we had the same guy that cleaned our room every single day. So we tipped him separately. And then there was tipping that went in like the bucket that would be split between everybody. But then like our day that we had the lunch in the garden, like obviously he had to be super attentive just for us. And he was running back and forth from the kitchen to the garden. So we had cash and we just tipped him. And if you have cash and you give it to them, he doesn't have to split it with everyone. Like they can just keep that. So if it's cash, you can just give it to whoever you want to give it to and they will be able to keep that. And then if it's on the card, they can either split it or they can direct it towards one people. They do have people that also have to walk you back at night. And it is what we read online, they do expect a tip and they will kind of just hang out waiting for the tip. It is people from like the local tribe. So it does go, it is going to go to the local people, which, it is nice. So yeah, I would always give them one bill, and Ashley's like, that's kind of a lot. I think it ended up being like $7 every time they walked us back. But you can probably get lower bills.
Did you use Kenya shillings or US dollars? That's what I was wondering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kenyan shillings. Okay.
Yes. I think did you can use USD, but we never did.
Did you change your currency before you came over or after you got there?
Yes. We had our van driver stop at an ATM before. Once we got out of Nairobi, we thought it would be a little bit harder to find an ATM. So we made sure we stopped in Nairobi to get an ATM. Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. We have one last question as we're wrapping up. And then I want you to tell people where they can find you online. Remind them of that. But what was your most memorable moment from the trip? We heard about the peeing rhino. That was memorable. But if you had to choose your most memorable moment for the trip, let's close with that. And then tell people where they can find you online.
It definitely has to be our first game drive, where we were hanging out with all of the lion cubs and their family. I mean, there was probably 12 of them there, I would say, rolling around in the grass. We had our champagne and the sun was going down. It was just the most magical experience. Definitely definitely a highlight. And the Bush breakfast comes a close second because that was amazing as well. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Definitely shoot me a DM if you have any questions for me. Emily Easton Explores on Instagram. I'm on pretty much every other platform as well. And you can definitely tune into our podcast, Travel Chat with Ashley and Emily. We have another episode all about this if you want even deeper of a dive. I think this was pretty concise though. So you got pretty much everything that we talked about on there. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation and I'm excited for you guys to maybe attend the JW.
I mean,
one day.
I know. I kind of think it makes a lot of sense as like a girls trip where you're splitting the points. Yeah. So then you don't have to do all that earning all on your own. Emily, thank you so much for being here today. This was so fun. We're going to link up all of your offerings and where people can find you in the show notes. And I do want to encourage any of you guys, if you guys are travel creator entrepreneur types, make sure you take a look at Emily's membership. It is pretty cool. I'm not sure if it's open right now for people, but they should still definitely post around and see what's happening because you have created something extraordinary and everybody who's in it that I've heard from speaks extremely highly of it.
Thank you so much. We love the Travel Boss community so much. So thank you for saying that.
Yes. Oh, of course. Awesome.
Well, Wonderland On Points listeners, you guys hang on. We're going to let Emily go, but then we're going to tell you how you can make this trip happen. We're going to give you some tangible steps for making it a reality. So hang on. Emily, thank you so much for joining us.
Bye.
Bye, Emily. We appreciate
you. Bye, guys.
Okay, guys. Emily is gone, but we are still here, which we don't often do, but we also didn't want to make her hang on for more than an hour while we give you something that she's already done. So a couple of things. I was trying to search the calendar for the best way to do this. Now, we know that with Marriott, on award bookings, you get the fifth night free. So if you are thinking about this, the best bang for your buck is actually going to be doing a five-night stay. And I found a five-night stay in December for 786,000 points. Now, don't have a heart attack because I know that sounds completely unreasonable. That comes out to $157,200 a night. Okay. I also found three nights in May for $576,000, which I think comes around $192,000. I didn't do the math per night. So it's a little bit less per night to do the five nights. So if you can make it happen, that's the way to go.
Make it happen. If you're going all the way to Kenya too, I just feel like you either need to extend your trip by going somewhere else or stay a full five nights because you're not going to want to change time zones and go that far for less than that amount of time anyway.
For sure. And I'm sure there are more budget options without safaris included that you can do in and around like the Nairobi area. I'm certain that you could make your trip longer and still do just three nights with the safari and have it be a really great experience. But here's the thing. I think if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. Here is how I would personally do this. If I were doing like a romantic couple trip, I would have player one and player two do this strategy. If you're going on a girls trip, obviously you and then your friend do this strategy. So I would have each person open one business and one personal Marriott card. The personal with the lower annual fee, because there is a personal with like a $600-something annual fee. So not that one. This would put you at 125,000 points for the business card and 85,000 points for the personal card. Those are the signup bonuses. So that puts you at 420,000 points combined once you each open one of those cards. The remaining 156,000 points to get you to that 786,000, I would do a combination of things. We can transfer to Marriott from both Chase and American Express. So I would be either opening cards with those currencies like a Chase Inc. for 75,000 points or like an Amex Gold for 90, sometimes even 100,000 points. And I would be hitting Rakuten very, very hard. Guys,
I have a shopping portal hard.
All day. I have a 36,000 point deposit coming from Rakuten in a couple days. That's just from the last 3 months. Okay.
36, get excited about that, by the way.
I am so pumped. But also remember, guys, that there are often transfer bonuses to Marriott. There was a 40% transfer bonus from Chase to Marriott not that long ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
40%.
Yeah. That is what can make this possible and make it way more reasonable.
Yeah, that's huge. So if you can be transferring those remaining points during a transfer bonus, I mean, that is really going to make this, like you said, attainable. So this is the kind of thing where maybe this is your one big trip in the span of 1, 2, maybe even 3 years. And the rest of the time, you are doing more of those tiny Southwest Hyatt combo budget trips with your family. Maybe you're even doing some road trips. Like, sacrifices will have to be made to do a trip like this. But also, it will be the trip of a lifetime. And you will 100%. Be getting, I mean, tens of thousands of dollars of value for almost nothing out of pocket. Obviously, there's the tipping, there's the game fee. Like, you've got to think about it. There's budgeting that's going to have to happen to get you here. But I mean, nobody, most people could never afford something like this. And the idea that you can actually strategize and open credit cards with your regular spending and they can get you to this extraordinary luxury experience, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is possible for normal people, normal middle-class people like us to do this with strategy,
yes,
with transfer bonuses, with points and miles. Thank you. Woohoo, points and miles.
I know. I could literally do a little party dance right now. I also just really quickly want to throw out a few flight numbers, just because obviously we know we got to get there. In May, LAX to Nairobi on Emirates is 35,000 points, $302 in taxes and fees. JFK to Nairobi on American is 40,000 points, $86.90 in taxes and fees. So this is what you can kind of ballpark assume you're going to be paying for the lowest points prices in economy. These are not business class flights. I'm sorry. You're going to have to do some more scraping together if that's what you want. And also, these were all with one stop. I think it's pretty rare to find nonstop the way that Emily did. And remember, as we said at the beginning, I mean, the cash round trip rate that she paid was
excellent.
Very excellent. So look for maybe those kinds of flights. Maybe check a portal. You could be doing that with Chase points, maybe in the Chase portal for 1.25 cents per point. Like, there are ways to do it. So make sure you're comparing cash and points. The December flights, we've got Chicago to Nairobi, which shocked me, for 40,000 American Airlines points and $82 in taxes and fees. We've got San Francisco to Nairobi. That's on Air France, which you can transfer from all the currencies for that. 40,000 points, 195 taxes and fees. And then we've got JFK to Nairobi on both Air France and United. And those are closer to 50,000 points. But the taxes and fees on the United flight is $8.60. So you're paying 49,500 points, but just $8.60 to get over to Africa. So I would personally pay more points to get less coming out in terms of taxes and fees. That's just kind of how I roll.
Yeah, especially if you need to save money for the tips and for the park entrance fee. So we hope that this is helpful for you guys, aspirational. You know, if you have a huge anniversary coming up in a year or two and you want to start planning for it now, it can be done. Dream big, guys. Points and miles allows us to dream big. It allows us to go places we never would have thought possible. And certainly this is one of those situations. So thank you so much for being here, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Drop us an email, Mary Ellen and Joe at wonderlandonpoints.com. Find us on social media. We'd love to hear feedback from you. Have a great day, guys.
Bye, guys. If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast.
You can find me on Instagram at familytravelforthewin with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at points2wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.